How are you? Great to have you with us. It's Rush Limbaugh, the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. Utilizing talent on loan from God. Broadcast excellence the next 2 hours. Telephone number is 800-282-2882. So CBS News says that Joe Biden will not be seen again until Thursday night at the debate. And yeah, we're going to get to the moderator being in the tank for Biden and Obama. It's what it is. Kristen Welker, a total in-the-tank Democrat, just like Steve Scully was for Biden, isn't going to change. The reasons for the lid, and by the way, this lid, I think it went on yesterday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 5 days. 5 days Biden is going into hiding. And yeah, we're going to delve back into the Hunter Biden laptop. We spelled all that out for you last week. You should have no more questions about that. Oh, actually, not true. Now they're blaming the Russians for this. Is this not great? They're validating its truth. They're validating what's on Hunter Biden's computer is true by blaming the Russians for it. I will explain that in due course. Now, here is why CBS News says that the Biden campaign's putting a lid on the campaign through the debate. The Biden camp thinks the debate is everything, that if Biden wins the debate, it's over. Everything else is academic. If Biden wins the debate, Trump can kiss a goodbye. With that in mind, the moderator, NBC's Kristen Welker, is in the tank for Biden and won't let the Hunter Biden scandal get much time. This is what the Biden camp is planning on. Now, the Hunter Biden emails, folks, they are devastating. And if Joe Biden can't refute what's in them, then he's got to go into seclusion. If he can't answer questions about what's in those emails or what's on that laptop, then he's got to go into seclusion. The media is not going to cover the Hunter Biden scandal in the coming days. Biden is confident of this. And so if he remains under the lid, there will be no reason for the media to cover it. And they won't. It doesn't matter because we will. But I'm telling you, going back to the basement in whatever palatial home Biden chooses to live in, he's got a bunch. Did you know that? This is 100% damage control. This is not going on offense. This is not giving people a reason to vote for you. Biden hiding under the lid proves this scandal is deadly to them. I want to play an audio soundbite, and this is just to illustrate a point that I just made, that the Democrats have nothing other than Biden and Kamala Harris as generic candidates. They're the people who got a D next to their name, but they're not running a campaign of vote for them. They're literally trying to convince people to elect them because of Donald Trump's personality. Now stop and think of this. Get past Trump's personality. What's he done? What does he want to do? What are his achievements? What's its record? It's astounding. It is over-the-top achievement-oriented. And they want you to ignore that. They want you to not even pay attention to it. They don't want you to even know it. Instead, they want you to vote against Donald Trump because of his personality. And here comes Pocahontas from a campaign event yesterday, St. Paul, Minnesota, proving the point.
Donald Trump threatens the existence of human life, of all life on this planet. And on November 3rd, we will hold Donald Trump accountable.
Donald Trump threatens the existence of human life? All life on this planet? What? How in heck does that happen? How does one person, any person, how does one person threaten the existence of human life? Of all life. Folks, this means they're running out of descriptions of Trump's personality to get you to hate. That means they're running out of various ways to describe what they hate about Trump. Now he's going to kill everybody. Donald Trump going to kill everybody. He going to make sure everybody gets killed. He going to see to it that everybody dies. Oh, wait, isn't that what they said? Climate change is going to kill everybody if we didn't get it fixed. Biden's lead slips. The New York Post, Biden's lead slips in wake of report on Hunter. Biden's polling edge over Trump eroded this week amid the Post's revelations about his son Hunter's foreign dealings. The TIP National Tracking, IBD TIP National Tracking poll released Saturday, puts Biden at 50% head-to-head, Trump at 43%. The results also hinted at the possibility of a substantial number of shy Trump voters in the electorate, while 47% of the respondents said they believe their neighbors are Trump voters, only 36% of them say they are surrounded by Biden voters. And then there, the Politico has a story, the nagging unknowns that have Democrats sweating a Trump upset. Did you realize why is this even being called a Trump upset if it happens? It's being called a Trump upset because from the very moment they began polling this race, Trump has been destined to lose it in a landslide, right? You talk about setting a baseline or setting expectations. It has never, ever been the case that the incumbent in this race ever had a prayer. The frame of mind that has been accompanying every report on the polling of this race is that Donald Trump is going to lose in a massive landslide. He's the incumbent. He's the only guy who has a positive record. He's the only guy who can tell people what he's done and what more he's going to do. I find it just fascinating the way this is psychologically playing out. Trump, why? It's as though he didn't win in 2016. No, he didn't win. He didn't get a majority of electoral votes. No, Trump's destined to lose in a landslide. They're repeating the 2016 campaign as though it's the 2020 campaign while ignoring the 2016 election that Trump won. And so every poll has Trump losing in a landslide. Now, as the polling data tightens, guess what? Why, there is a Trump upset maybe coming. Could it be that maybe a Trump upset was never in the cards? Could it be that in the real world, Donald Trump has always been right in the thick of things? Has never been down 15, has never been down 12. What does it matter anyway if 6 months ago they said that, or a year ago? So this is how they set the expectations. This is how they make you think it's so far out of the realm of possibility that you may as well not even hope for it. You may as well not even vote for Trump. You don't have a prayer. Yep. But they're now nagging unknowns have Democrats sweating a Trump upset. So the presumption is, as it is in every election, the presumption is Democrats are going to win. And Democrats are going to win big. The presumption is Democrats always win. The presumption is that when the Democrats don't win, somebody came along and cheated. They cheated it. They cheated Al Gore in 2000. They cheated John Kerry in 2004. They cheated Hillary in 2016. Now they're getting ready to cheat Biden. That's the common frame of mind. That every election is the Democrats. The Democrats win every one. If something comes along, causes an upset. Now, let's get started with the audio sound bites. We'll start at the top of the list. This is me. I want to go back to August 31st because Biden said on that date or thereabouts that in terms of locking down the country again, if a scientist came along and told him he had to do it, he would do it. Now, here again, the point was, I'm a smart guy. I'm Joe Biden. I'm going to listen to the science. They're trying to say that Trump is a buffoon, that Trump is an ignoramus and an idiot, thinks he's smarter than the scientists, doesn't trust the science, and that that's unacceptable. Here is what I said about this.
The idea that we got some doofus Democrat presidential candidate promising everybody he will re-lock down the country if some scientist comes along and tells him we have to, ought to scare the bejesus out of everybody. Because that is the last thing we need to do.
Shutting down the country would be a disaster. It was a disaster the first time. The Democrats still have many of their states and cities shut down for the express purpose of doing damage to U.S. economy. The last thing we need is more of it. But note the science business. Anybody can put on a white coat and stand next to Joe Biden, claim to be a scientist, and issue a report saying, based on my scientific analysis of the scientific circumstances, the scientific criteria we've looked at here in the scientific theorems and algorithms, it seems necessary to me to say as a scientist that we need to shut down the country. Plug says, okay, we're going to shut down the country. Scientist here said so. Uh-uh. You know why science has become as politicized as the Democrat Party itself is? The last thing in the world ought to be because science says so, or a scientist says so. To show you I'm right, Sunday morning CNN reliable sources, little Brian Stelter talking to a Harvard law professor named Yochai Benkler, said, you say the Republicans are in an electoral dead end. What does that mean?
For 40 years now, the Republican coalition has basically been money focused on deregulation and low taxes, funding a party where the votes come from the white identity voters' backlash against the civil rights movement and the fundamentalist backlash against the women's movement. So you have this coalition, and it kept becoming more and more constrained as it started to feed from Rush Limbaugh, from Fox News, into its own extremism. And so what you have now is essentially a party that can't expand beyond its base.
A party that cannot expand beyond its base. Because the Republican coalition has been basically money. Like the Democrats are not about money. No. Democrats are in it for the cause, right? Focus on deregulation, low taxes. Damn right we are. We're all for people keeping more of what they earn. We are all for people having more disposable income. That drives the economy. That causes economic growth. That causes economic rebound. That causes economic opportunity. Damn right we're for it. But that's funded a party where the votes come from the white identity voters' backlash against the civil right. What an absolute crock! Here we are, back to it again. The Republican Party exists because it's got a bunch of racists, bigots, and so forth who are engaging in backlash against the civil rights movement and the women's movement. A gigantic walking cliche, and this guy who has as big a closed mind as any bigot you'll find is a Harvard law professor. We'll take a break. Got phone calls from you coming right up. By the way, I just went to our Twitter page and checked it. Some of you people are hilarious. Some of you people responding with some of the funniest tweets. By the way, the handle is at Real R. Limbaugh. I didn't mention that at all last Friday. It was bad form. Snurdly, you got to remind me more often The Twitter page handle, a new one. This is the only one. We consolidated. We got rid of some of the others. And this is the it one. This is at Real R. Limbaugh. That's the handle. And I'm telling you, some of these tweets responding to me, and I realize I inspire greatness, but this is just, some of you people just funny it can be. And some of you people are obviously sewer dwellers. I knew that was going to happen. We knew that was going to be the case. We knew it. We knew it when we did this, when we started it up. We knew we're going to attract that segment of the crowd out there. When they look up, they see the gutter. We knew that. I mean, there are Twitter wars out there. There are nasty grams out there. They're not all nice. We knew that. Like Debbie, this election is going to boil down to the art of the deal versus the art of the steal. Another guy tweeted, cops and jobs versus lockdowns and mobs. It's an easy choice. I mean, some of you folks are really creative and funny out there. So the handle is at Real R. Limbaugh. Back to the phones, Greenville, South Carolina. Cindy, I'm glad you waited. You're up. Hello.
Hey, Rush. I must preface this my point with telling you that you are my husband and my hero, and we are some of the millions who are on our knees praying for you.
Well, I appreciate it. I thank you very, very much.
My point is that I gave a donation, a good donation, to Donald Trump last time. I was anyone but Hillary and thought he was the one. But I haven't this time and will not, because I thought once he got elected, he would become presidential. Like you get groomed to be in the monarchy. So I thought this childish, you know, name-calling, fighting with people is going to end because he will be the president. Well, unfortunately, it hasn't. Now, I'm voting for him and gladly voting for him. He has done a lot for the country. But if he behaves in this debate this week, in my opinion, he will lose. If he behaves like he did in the first debate,
yeah, I agree with you. Lose. I agree with you.
Okay. It will be a landslide because people want, they don't like this unhinged behavior of his that really is 5 year old. They want to see a leader, and he is a strong leader, but he doesn't come across as one when he acts like that. So I do have a couple, we go way back to the early 90s, and I have a couple of points that I would like to tell you if we have time.
Go ahead.
About how we found you. My husband had some medical students under him early in the 90s, and he noticed that the males were disappearing from 12 to 3. And so he finally asked, where are they going? And they, or he asked them, and they said, we're listening to someone called Rush Limbaugh. So my husband listened, and then he told me, so we go back to, I wanted to ask you why you don't say seminar caller anymore. Our son was in the eighth grade. He wanted me to tape your parodies because he just loved them. So back in the cassette days, I would put your tapes, I would tape your parodies for him to get a good laugh after school.
Well, I appreciate that. The reason we don't call them seminar callers anymore is we don't get very many. But when we get one, I sure do. I level the allegation the minute I recognize it. But the seminar callers have drifted further and further away. So yeah, your husband's students were vanishing to listen to the program. I want to go back to the substance part of your call, the Trump debate and the personality that he exuded in the first one. I can tell you why that happened, if anybody cares. I don't think it's going to happen in this next debate. I don't know who was giving him advice. I don't know if he ignored it or if he listened to it. I think there was a clear effort to rattle Biden, and that didn't work, and it should not have been part of a strategy. We'll be right back here. You want to hear a very interesting voting statistic? If this is right, I have that as a, with a caveat. If this is right, the Democrat presidential candidate has not won a majority of the white vote since Harry Truman. There's one exception. It's LBJ in 1964. That's at the height of the civil rights movement. Well, no, my point is I got this doofus Harvard professor, Harvard law professor, claiming that it's Republicans that are running around unable to expand our base because people like me and Fox News we're convincing people that the election's about. I mean, I don't even know what the guy said. It's so bigoted. Here it is. Republican coalition has basically been money focused on deregulation, low taxes. Yeah. Funding a party where the votes come from the white identity voters' backlash against the civil rights movement. And the fundamentalist backlash against the women's movement, when in fact it is the white vote that does not support the Democrat candidate. And it's a mind-boggling statistic out there. Here's Donald Trump. Donald Trump today at a conference call with a campaign staff says the race is turned and that we are going to win.
We're going to win. I wouldn't have told you that maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. We're going to win. We're winning in Arizona. We're winning in Florida. Right now, we're winning in Florida by 3, maybe even 4. We have an incredible staff in Florida. Pennsylvania is even, but I think we're going to win. I'm hitting it. Every stop I attend, I have 25,000 people, sometimes more. What we did in Michigan was unbelievable. You know, we're up in Michigan. The Trafalgar poll has us 1 or 2 points up in Michigan, which is shocking. More shocking than the early vote in Michigan. The early vote in Michigan, where we were supposed to be at 20%, and they were supposed to be at 80%, and it's always been that way for years and centuries, but for years, we are now up in the early vote, which is, nobody's ever seen a thing like that.
All of that, by the way, I think is true. Especially the early vote, it was one of the lead stories in the program today, that the early vote, shockingly, the Republicans are well ahead. And it's noteworthy because nobody thinks that, here it is, early voting numbers in key states are surprising and good news. And it's about Michigan and Wisconsin. It's about Arizona and Florida. And most Republican voters think that early voting is a Democrat cheat vehicle. Early voting on is where Democrat fraud happens, where all these different mail-in ballots are sent to people, multiple voter registrations, all of that. Republicans are leading in the early voting. I'm just telling you that this whole idea that Trump has been destined to lose in a landslide from the moment they started polling the 2020 race. He's the incumbent, for crying out loud. Okay, back to the phones. Peter in Farmington, Connecticut. I'm glad you waited, sir. You are up next. Hello.
Hello, Rush. First, I just quick comment. You may have stepped back to second base, but with all our prayers, your excellent doctors, your positive thinking, you will make it home and you will win this game.
Thank you, sir. Yep, we're still in the game. Just at second base. Thank you very much, sir.
Yes. Listen, my point is, I feel Kristen Welker, out of all the moderators, is the most disingenuous of them all. For 3.5 years, she has done nothing but smear Trump and berate him. And I did something you suggested, not to watch the news. But I got to tell you, I remember the last time I did watch her. It was when there were shots out the White House and when Trump had to leave, which is standard operating procedure. He came back in and she said, President, you look rattled. But Trump came, he's a master of strip lines, and he said to her, do I look rattled? And I just don't have any highly opinion of Kristen Welker.
Well, you're not alone. I think a lot of people are very dubious and suspicious. She spent Christmas 2018 with the Obamas in the White House. Did you know that? Why is somebody like that moderating a debate? And if she's spending Christmas 2018 with the Obamas in the White House, who's the vice president at the time? That would be Joe Biden. I think Kristen Welker is partisan, is judgmental, is mean-spirited. I think she is arrogant and looks down on Trump, and I don't think she'll be able to hide that. The topics have been selected. She announced the topics. Ready for the topics? Fighting COVID-19. American families. Race in America. Climate change. Why in the name of Sam Hill? Climate change. Chris Wallace did climate change. And then Savannah Guthrie peppered Trump with climate change at that whatever that was, that debate with her. Climate change. Now climate change is going to happen again with Kristen Welker peppering Biden and Trump with questions about climate change. I'll tell you why, folks. Climate change is one of those Democrat issues that contains every other Democrat issue. It contains every dream scenario. It contains total control over citizens' lives. It contains control over the energy sector of the country. It contains control over the price and affordability of gasoline, energy, other sources of fuel. It contains the ability to basically control every aspect of a person's life. What a person eats, what a person drinks, what a person drives, because it all has an impact on the planet. All could end up doing grave damage to the planet. It also promotes globalism. You have to have a globalist coordination on an issue like climate change. And the reason that you want globalist is because there's one country that has to be blamed more than any other. And that is the United States. United States must get blamed for all the problems to the environment. We're the biggest, we're the baddest. And we have the largest back pocket that can be picketed by other nations. It is also an issue whereby the media gets to somehow try to portray the Republicans as not caring about people and not caring about the planet and not caring about the future. It is because of climate change Republicans foolishly run around claiming to be for clean air. And foolishly running around claiming to be for clean water as though they're not. So anyway, climate change, national security will be another topic. And leadership. Those are the topics announced by the Commission on Presidential Debates in a tweet on Friday. So here's Becky. Becky's in San Antonio, Texas. Great to have you with us. Hi.
Good morning, Rush. Well, it's afternoon now. I just want to let you know you've got two more fans traveling to Tennessee right now that listen to your show every chance we get, and we are praying for you. But my topic this morning was, I told my husband last week when Kamala Harris locked down because a couple of her members got COVID, I said, this is nothing more than an opportunity for her to sit back and get educated on what is going on with what's going on with Biden right now. They are getting prepped on how to answer questions and how not to answer questions. And then when the story got even more hyped up and Biden was asked about it and got so angry, then he locked down, and he is also getting prepped, in my opinion, about how to answer the media when they want to ask him about this particular topic with his son. The interesting thing I think that might happen Thursday night is I believe Trump's going to have to jump on the wagon and start talking about this during the debate, because the debate is supposed to be foreign policy, not the other topics that you talked about and that this Biden promoter that is going to be the moderator really wants to talk about. She doesn't want to go there. But this topic Thursday night is supposed to be foreign policy. They are going to try to distract as much as possible because they know this story is true.
Well, it and is, but she's already said that this subject is not coming up. And I'll if Trump brings it up, she's going to move in. And she says, sorry, Mr. President, this is not one of the topics for the debate tonight. We have limited amount of time. Your party agreed with the rules. Vice President's people agreed with the rules. And the rules are that these are the topics. And the Hunter Biden story is not one. Thank you, Mr. President. He'll be trying to say what he wants to say, but she is not going to go there. I don't think that's what they're doing by locking down. Look, Biden knows everything there is about this laptop circumstance. At some point, I've got to delve into another part of this that needs to be exposed because I think we've all heard. I don't know if you've heard or not. Just saw the clock. I got to take a break. I don't want to get started with this and have to stop. So hang on. We'll be right back and continue in a minute. Yes, sirree. Welcome back. Rush Limbaugh. Having more fun than a human being should be allowed to have. Listen to this. This is Kristen Welker. March 6, 2016. It's a flashback. And this is debate moderator Kristen Welker caught giving questions in advance to Clinton Communications Director Jennifer Palmieri. It's March 6, 2016, MSNBC, special coverage Democrat presidential debate, Hillary Clinton and Crazy Burning. After the debate, the anchor Ari Melber tried to send the broadcast to White House correspondent Kristen Welker before she was ready. When Welker was in the post-debate spin room set to interview Hillary Clinton director of communications, Jennifer Palmieri, here's how it sounded.
We go right to Kristen Welker. Kristen, go ahead.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you about Flynn.
Kristen, go ahead. You're live. Kristen Welker in the spin room. I believe she has the Clinton communications director with her. Go ahead, Kristen.
Okay, thank you. I think this is his last question. Hey, Ari, I'm here with communications director Jen Palmieri for the Clinton campaign.
She was telegraphing this series of questions she was going to give Jennifer Palmieri, and she did it live. Yeah, and I'm going to ask you about Flint, meaning I'm going to ask Hillary. She's talking to Jennifer Palmieri. I'm going to ask you about Flint, which, and this is Flint, Michigan, and the water and all that garbage there. And Ari Melber said, Kristen, you're live. Go ahead. Kristen, we're in the spin room. I believe she has the Clinton communication director with her. Go ahead, Kristen. And then Kristen Welker kind of softens the, you know, kind of whispers, okay, thank you. I think this is last question. Hey, Ari, I think this is last question. Okay. Hey, Ari, I'm here with communications director Jennifer Palmieri for the Clinton campaign. She was caught live giving questions in advance to Clinton communications director Jennifer Palmieri. How does this, that's 2016, it's 4 years ago. How does this woman end up moderating a presidential debate in 2016? I got an email. Dear Mr. Limbaugh, one of my cleaning people, Trump supporter, told me that she saw some of a rally this past weekend. She's really upset that Trump was making fun of Hunter Biden and his drug addiction. Now, my sister-in-law is a hardcore conservative Trump supporter. My sister-in-law wrote me that they had so many young friends of their kids killed with drugs that making fun of Hunter because of his drug addiction made her feel a little horrible. Mr. Limbaugh, I know you have access to the president. You need to tell him. I think the emphasis for the president, who's made a promise to keep fentanyl out of the country and to work on addiction after he was campaigning in the primary in New Hampshire, he should be on what a corrupt person Joe Biden is, not Hunter. Tell him the story here is Joe Biden, not Hunter. And, you know, that is a really good point. So I think this whole scheme, and you know what the scheme is. I told you Friday what the scheme is. The scheme is Joe Biden gets members of his family employed by companies and organizations doing business with the federal government, maybe even getting him on the boards of directors. So that would be Hunter Biden, maybe when he was alive, Beau Biden, a sister-in-law or whatever. Get them on the board. Get them as employees. Get them paid by these people doing business with the federal government that Joe Biden oversees. Now, these entities cannot give money straight to Joe Biden. So how do they get it to him? Why? They pay his kids. They pay family members that he has made them hire. Looks clean as it can be. Then these kids, these family members, have been under orders to send half of what they are paid to the big guy, which has now been confirmed to be Joe Biden. This, in turn, is how Biden has profited from the relationships that he has with these organizations and companies doing business with the federal government. I think that it's Biden who cooks up the whole scheme. I don't think it's Hunter. I think Hunter's pretty much told what to do. I think Beau Biden was pretty much told what to do, other members of the family. You know, John Kerry did the same kind of thing here. And I think the son, the stepson, I think they're just the front men. Kerry's stepson got out of the whole thing. I wonder why. But I think Biden, instead of helping his son deal with his emotional trauma and all that, used him to run this massive scam to get paid. And I think it's why Hunter went nuts. I think it's why Hunter had problems dealing with all. But I've got to take a moment and break because we'll have to expand on it when I have more time to get back. Okay, folks, you got to buckle up. We have one fast-paced hour remaining. Surprising results in the initial virus testing in New York City schools. It's amazing how few positive tests there have been.